Hello and welcome to another episode of the PDA Writing Podcast. Today, I am reading Chapter 3, Future Recollections, from P.I. Cone in the Bicentennial. The Diary of Mary Stevens, the twin whose body was not on the medical examiner's table, was the evidence that Chris had mentioned yesterday. Dale had taken the journal back to their hotel room to read. It was long and extensive. They did not want to whittle away that time in the station. They opened the diary to the last four entries as they sat cross-legged on the bed. The Diary of Mary Stevens, the twin whose body was not on the medical examiner's table, was the evidence that Chris had mentioned yesterday. Dale had taken the journal back to their hotel room to read. It was long and extensive. They did not want to whittle away that time in the station. They opened the diary to the last four entries as they sat cross-legged on the bed. They took a moment to absorb what they had just read. It felt almost strange because Dale could feel how much he wanted to leave this town. They had felt that same feeling too. They had also felt some similar thoughts when thinking about escaping this town. It had been a relief when they had made it to the city, when they had gotten their first apartment. They knew the longing that had filled Mary. They knew they could have stayed. They could have stayed for Andrew. Angie would have been the only reason why they would have. Their grandmother had died in the April before graduation, a month after they had turned 18. If she had still been alive, though they loved her, it wouldn't have been enough to stay. There had been too much pushing them away and not enough pulling them in. Though Mary had been older than them when writing this, they knew how trapped this place made her feel, made them feel. It had at times felt like a large prison cell, with the only visitors being those closest to you, and those people were often few and far in between. Dale opened the diary again. June 21st, 1976. Happy summer. A friend of mine, well, more like an acquaintance, was married today. She married a man that she had known from infancy. From the time they were 8, they knew they were going to get married. I always found that weird. I always thought that people would, want to know all the flavors before committing to just one for the rest of their life. How can you know that this person is for you when you haven't met anyone else? How can you know what is to be expected? How can you know anything without first trying it? After all, knowledge is just experience. No one else found their childhood romance weird. It was almost expected of them with their families as close as they were. I hate people's expectations. Everyone, including my parents, expect me to settle down and get married. They think I'm right for the brother of Victoria's boyfriend. But I wouldn't go near him if they paid me to. They all think it'd be cute for two sisters to marry two brothers. I just think it's weird. Plus, this man that I'm supposed to marry, his family is known for its long history in town and for the temperament of their men. They raise strong, strapping boys, they say, in that boys will be boys. But these boys are aggressive at the best of times and violent at the worst of times. I don't want my sister dating a man and part of this family. I don't trust them, and I fear for her safety. I wish she would go with me when I leave. I don't want to see her stay here. Dale kept their thumb in the book as they ran a hand through their hair. They took a deep breath. A small town was filled with expectations. Dale thought if there were suddenly no expectations in the entire town, it would cease to work. They had felt a lot of them. At one point in time, they had expected Andrew and Dale to get together. They had been inseparable at one point in time. From middle school up until a few weeks before Dale left, hardly any day went by without Dale and Andrew seeing each other. Though Dale loved Andrew as a person who fully understood them, they always chafed at the expectation that they were to get together, especially when Dale had started dating someone else and the expectation for them and Andrew didn't stop. It didn't help that all these expectations felt like things for normal people, people who didn't feel like Dale did. Dale always felt different, not just because this town had chafed. They were never one to fit into roles. These expectations always just felt like more roles to them. all more nonsense that never seemed to actually have any bearing in Dale's reality. Dale always felt that expectations should be personal, that one should never put them on another. Dale's expectations were always about what they wanted and what they felt. After all the expectations that had been put on them, they didn't want to put any on anyone else. Mary seemed to have felt similarly, but that could just be Dale making connections where there were none. They needed to read more. They needed to have more of a feel, and hopefully less of an emotional connection. June 25th, 1976. I'm tired of waiting. I've been making arrangements to leave this town. I have made them in hopes that my sister will be joining me. Because of certain circumstances, I think she will. She was never one to be able to handle a scandal, and despite the modern day in this small town, there would still be an uproar. I know that there is still a chance that she'll change her mind, but I think I've got her seeing the way of things, of what would happen if things were to carry on. She is nervous, of course, but she has already started packing. The apartment I was able to secure should be available just after the 4th. We should be moving the 5th if all goes to plan. My sister hesitated because of that boy she is dating. She says she loves him and that he is different from his family. I would like to trust my sister's opinion of him, but she is known to like people way too easily. She gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. I'm a lot more wary than her, and while he is around her, he is all a woman can want. But in the times I have seen him away from her, he is a different person. I have told her of what I've seen, and she does not believe me. But I do see that she is scared. Of what, I'm not entirely sure. But I think that is what spurns her to move with me. Dale decided they needed a cup of coffee. They marked where they were and threw the book down on the bed. These entries weren't long or particularly detailed, but every one had hit them hard. It felt like they were reading something that they themselves had written from those months before they left. It kept on bringing them back. They couldn't help but think of their own thoughts, and that they would need some coffee for. Even with everything that had happened, Dale had loathed to leave Andrew behind. It had been the original plan to wait until Andrew was 18, just a month after graduation, and then they would leave together. They would face the city as they faced everything else. Together. Dale padded down the empty, carpeted hotel barefooted to the vending machine area. After paying, they placed a thick paper cup under the dispenser. They had talked about what they would want and where they would go and what jobs they would get. They would find some shitty apartment at first, barely fit to be called home. But they would make it such. They would find jobs that were considered menial and sell artistic stuff to make ends meet. It would be hard work, but they would do it. Together. Then before they knew it, their art, their photography, writing, and whatever else they did, it would become successful. They would buy a penthouse, have parties with like-minded people, and never look back at the town where they grew up. Dale sipped the hot coffee. It was terrible, but they didn't care and walked slowly back to the room. Andrew was angry when Dale left without him. Dale remembered the angry tears flowing down Andrew's face as they said goodbye, as Dale got into the old beat-up car that was once his grandmother's and drove away. The coffee cooled on their bedside table, and they picked up the diary for the final entry. July 2nd, 1976. Our escape is only a few days away, but it cannot come sooner. Tonight, Victoria came home with a broken hand. Her eyes are red and puffy from crying. I tried to get her to talk to me. I tried to get her to tell me what happened, but she says nothing. But that's okay. I already know what happened. Her cherished boyfriend, he finally snapped and was true to his heritage. Tonight was the night she was supposed to tell him that she was leaving. She says that her boyfriend didn't do anything. I don't believe her. Who else would have broken her hand? What else could have happened that would cause that? I knew her boyfriend was no good. I knew it. I knew he wasn't different than his family. He was just as abusive as the rest. I cannot wait to take my sister out of here. This town doesn't deserve her. She's worth more than what people give her. She's worth a lot more. The coffee was cold, but Dale still downed it, taking it in one gulp. They had stared at the page for a long while before they had realized they had finished the last entry. They weren't even sure they had processed what it had said. They shook their head and read it over again. Dale knew now why they had lost track. The fact that Victoria had vouched for her boyfriend and yet she still came home with a broken hand. Dale knew the heartache that could come from a romantic partner firsthand. They had been dating someone that year before they left. She wasn't a popular girl, but she was well-liked by many. Dale had met her through an old TA a few years before they started dating. The TA had become a mentor of sorts to Dale, though only a year older, and did his best to introduce Dale to people with a similar mindset. Stephanie Coleridge was someone who they had heard about, but had never actually met before. Then, after a few years of friendship, Dale was over the moon when on Valentine's Day, senior year. They had asked her out, and she had said yes. Those months were blissful. Andrew even had been just as happy for Dale. Dale's urgency to get out of this town calmed down. They felt like maybe they wouldn't leave that summer, that maybe they could stay here a little bit longer. After all, thanks to their grandmother, they had a house here. It wasn't perfect, but it would do. They started thinking maybe those expectations weren't so bad after all. But then again, maybe they were. About a month before graduation, Stephanie had canceled the date right as it was supposed to start. She had made some flimsy excuse that Dale knew couldn't be true. So they went over to their house. Dale wanted to make sure everything was okay. It wasn't like her to do something like this. Her parents, having always liked Dale, let them in and told them she was up in her room. It was odd, though. Her parents were watching TV at a volume they only did when Dale was up in her room, just in case, you know, they were finagling. As they ascended the stairs, they heard sounds that they did not want to hear coming from her room. When they reached the top of the stairs, her door flung open and she came prancing out in only a t-shirt and was followed by the same TA that had introduced them, who did not have a stitch on him. An argument ensued when she saw that they were here. She blamed it on them because of what they were. She wanted a true man, not whatever Dale was. After that, Dale couldn't wait to leave this town. They couldn't even wait for Andrew. After reading the diary, Dale was more frustrated and urgent than they had been in a while. This town was full of memories Dale did not care to remember. They wanted to get out. There's gotta be someone who knows more about the twins. There has to be. No one leaves this small town without people noticing. Nothing happens in this small town without people noticing. Dale remembers how they could get a bad grade in math, and before they knew it, the woman who owned the local grocery store came up to them and asked if they needed help. Someone must have known what was going on. They must have known about this family that Mary talks about. They must have known who Victoria was seeing. 44 years was not that long ago. There should be plenty of people still alive from that time. Dale pulled their computer to them to search through the town's records. Oh, there were plenty of people alive, but no one seemed to know anything. Or, if they did, no one seemed to want to talk. Some of them even hung up on them. Dale wasn't sure if that was because of who they were, fear police, or because they knew something they didn't want to share. Dale made sure to make note, though, just in case. They got one person willing to agree to a meeting. His name was Kevin Miller. He owned the local bar for over 50 years now. He told them to come with the detective tomorrow morning, a few hours before open. I hope you enjoyed Chapter 3, Future Relics from P.I. Cohn in the Bicentennial. I know I definitely enjoyed writing it. Now, this one was a little bit of a different chapter than the other chapters that I did because it didn't actually have any, like, dialogue in it. It's just mostly, like, description for lack of narration. It's all narration. That's the word I want. It's all narration. And because we get to see the diary of Mary Stevens in the last four entries that she wrote. Writ. I'm a writer. I should know how to say words, but apparently I don't. The last four entries that she wrote before her disappearance in 1976. And with that, we also get to know more about Dale. Not much. They're mainly sympathizing with Mary, but they do reveal some things about themselves in the process of reading this diary. I enjoyed paralleling the two. And so we start off with Dale at the hotel getting ready to read the diary and everything. So, first entry, June 15th. Just the expression of just wanting to get out of this town, not wanting to be there, and how there's not enough for her to stay, and how she hopes a small town will miss her. It's not much, but it's just kind of like those wistful thinking type of things. I know when I act with the few times that I've kept a journal, I'm very bad at keeping a journal, in case you're curious, but the few times that I have a few of those entries where I'm just longing to go somewhere, be something, and just do those things. And so, honestly, we had to have the obligatory thing, but also does set up the fact that she was looking to leave. And that was not information that we had before. And then next scene is we go to paralleling with how Dale felt when they were wanting to leave this town, and how even Andrew, their best friend in the entire world, wasn't enough to keep them to stay. And so how much they understood Mary in that. And then with the next one, we get to know more about the town's expectations and a little bit to know about that Victoria, Mary's sister, was dating someone from a family who was known for abusive men. Not trying to sugarcoat it, it was like abusive, physically abusive, and sometimes mentally abusive men. The whole boys will be boys thing type of thing, which I hate that phrase, if you couldn't guess by me using it sarcastically in this journal entry. But also that Mary was expected to be in a relationship with the brother and how she just was not having that. I mean, I wouldn't have it. I don't think. I have a sister, in case you're curious. I don't think me and my sister, if we ever found a set of men, would need to be dating both of them. I feel like that would be a little weird. But that's my personal opinion. But I think also, I noticed, not that I'm a twin myself, though me and my sister are very similar, and oft people often mistake us for twins, and sometimes think we're the same person, that twins, or really close siblings, in my experience, they expect them to be the same person to do the same things. And so for the expectation for Mary to get with the brother seemed almost natural for me to put in there because that's what happens with siblings, even not twin siblings, is if you are close with your sibling, especially if you look very similar like me and my sister do, people expect you guys to do the same things, even though you are two different people, even if you are close. So that was a thing. But also, the whole childhood romance, how they just kind of ended up together. Now, I have nothing wrong with like childhood sweethearts or high school sweethearts. You do you. That's perfectly reasonable. Just with this story, I kind of tried to do it to where it's like it was almost like they were groomed into marrying each other at the end there. But honestly, yes, I do partially believe that when it comes to relationships, experience isn't necessarily a bad thing. To be able to understand the bad aspects of a relationship and the good aspects of a relationship without any comparison, do you know how to do things? Do you know if your relationship is good or not? If you don't have any connections with it, or are you just doing it because you feel like you should be doing it? So that type of stuff. So like that I do vibe with, but Mary is also a little harsh on things because she really wants to get out of town. And honestly, expectations are horrible. Always, hey, hate expectations, outside expectations. Sometimes even my own expectations, but that is ridiculously beyond the point. So, and then Dale comes in to talk about the expectations with Dale and Andrew when they were kids and spending all their time together. So, and which you get to know why more there's expectations between Dale and Andrew. I think maybe in the next chapter or the chapter later. The chapter later, I think. So you do get to know more about those expectations. But yeah, that just the expectation that they were going to get together because they were best friends. That always like chafed me. Because when at the time, opposite sex friends, when they're hanging out together, spending time together, doesn't necessarily mean they're romantically involved. It just means that they're friends. And that's something that's always bothered me in general when you have opposite gender friends hanging out together and everybody's like, oh, hey, you should get together, you should be in a relationship. And it's like, this person is like my best friend. Like, I have a few what would mostly be considered opposite gender friends, and they're like my siblings. That would be absolutely so gross. And so I understand the chafing, like, expectation of that too. But so yeah, so that's own expectations and just fitting into roles. Dale obviously, as I said before, is non-binary, and obviously with being non, there's a currency of gender roles, especially in a small town, I feel like. And I wasn't even, I'm creating a small town that's smaller than I've even ever lived in, and I lived in a decently small town. But that expectation of gender roles, that you are who you are, and that you should do certain things, act a certain way because of that. And how chafing that can be. And so that I understand is that was a little piece of me in there when I put Dale in those expectations about those roles. That was a little bit of me in there, because I hate those too. I hate those roles and expectations because people see me a certain way, that I should be acting like this or doing this. So I did that. He put that in there. Then we go to the next journal entry, where Mary has set up arrangements. Apparently, there might be a scandal with her sister. We don't know what that scandal is yet, though. There's no details, and it's very vague. And how her sister's agreeing to go with her, but obviously she's still nervous. She still might be hesitating, and all that fun stuff. Not much in this journal entry, just a little bit. And then Dale go to grab a cup of coffee, because all of these journal entries are just reminding them of all of the stuff that they went through, the time period when they were getting ready to leave, or just how they lived in the small town. Because they both lived in this same small town, even though it's 40 years apart for them. They still all lived in the same town together. Not together. And so I think Dale's just really understanding all of that, because the town hasn't changed that much. And so you still have these nuances there that Dale understands that Mary was going through. And so Dale's just like, oh my God, I need some coffee. That's his version of, let's go get a drink. And then we have the last entry, which is a very short entry, and tells about the broken hand and how that will, not how Victoria got it, but that she got it on July 2nd because she was going to say goodbye to her boyfriend. And she doesn't say that her boyfriend did it. She actually denies the fact that her boyfriend did it, but obviously there's more going on there. So, we do learn more about that later, but you get to know about the broken hand and at least Mary's view on it. So that's something. Then we go back to Dale, who's just now itching to get out of this town after reading the journal. Like, they're a professional person, they do their best not to get their emotions in the way of things. But this, all of this is just sitting so close to home for them that it's just super hard for them not to make connections. And so they're just struggling now, just like they want to get out of this town. They want to solve this case just so they don't have to deal with all these memories that are coming up and surfacing because of this diary and because of this case. So that's them, and then they are trying to find people. But also, I'm going back to that pre-scene, I forgot for a moment, is the fact that we found out that Dale, with their girlfriend before, the girlfriend in the few months before they left, cheated on them. Obviously, I not equating cheating to, physical abuse, but did remind Dale about that very failed relationship and how they found out that their girlfriend was cheating on them. So, and how cruel of a way that was. 'Cause the line, she wanted a true man, not whatever Dale was. that for a non-binary person, pretty harsh. Gotta say, I wrote that and I feel bad for Dale, but he's a character, so it's whatever. But then they go looking for people who are still alive. Obviously, they probably know some, but they're trying to do it in a more official capacity and getting all of those people that were alive and in the town during that time period. And they do have an interview with Kevin Miller, who's the bartender and who we will meet next time. And so, with that, because I enjoyed writing this chapter, I think I enjoyed writing the next chapter a little bit more because I enjoy Kevin Miller as a character. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And it was Chapter 3, Future Recollections of P.I. Cone and the Bicentennial. I hope you enjoyed it. Next time will be Chapter 4. I'm probably going to get up to Chapter 4 before I start reading other things for this podcast. Also, I really like this story. But have a good afternoon. It's afternoon today as I record this, so good afternoon, and I'll see you next time.